Praised for spot-on ensemble playing and a beautifully blended sound, the Delphi Trio burst onto the classical scene in 2010 and has since become known for its intensity and communicative power. The trio has performed in Europe, Canada, throughout California, and in the Midwest. Members of the trio have individually performed in 17 countries on 4 continents. The members of the Delphi Trio are Liana Berube, violin, Michelle Kwan, cello, and Jeffrey Ladour, piano. Before we get started with the music making, aside from a musical affinity among you, what's the philosophy of the ensemble? What are you trying to accomplish through your work and your mission?
First of all, thank you for having us. We're delighted to be here. We've found in working together that the piano trio literature is so phenomenally rich. And although it's impossible to draw a direct comparison to the string quartet literature, we feel that it has the same depth and the same possibilities of ensemble communication and in terms of blending the sound of the instruments. Oftentimes, a piano trio is seen as two siblings and an outsider, the outsider being me. But in fact, the way the music is written, starting from Haydn right on through Ravel and other more contemporary pieces, the possibility of blending the sounds of the instruments is really incredible. And so that's one of the things that we try for.
And what about the blending of your personalities in your work together?
That's a great question. We actually feel really strongly that each person has to bring their own convictions to the table. And we spend very little, if any time ever, asking another to play something differently. We actually like to do a leading exercise where each person leads a section, and then by doing that, you have a crystal clear idea of what each person feels and hears. And then we try to all lead together. So there's no leader in the group. It's a series of musical role shifting.
Fascinating. Yeah. You should take it to Washington. Do a few workshops, see how that works out. A little bit later in this impromptu program, we're going to hear a complete trio by Robert Schumann. But first, we have a movement from Antonín Dvořák's trio in F minor, opus 65. It is performed here by the Delphi Trio.
Thank you.
Live from the Faye and Daniel Levin Performance Studio at WFMT, that was the Allegretto Grazioso movement from Antonín Dvořák's Trio in F Minor, Opus 65. It was played by the Delphi Trio, Liana Berube, Michelle Kwan, and Jeffrey Ladour, and we'll hear them in a trio by Robert Schumann in just a moment. Bravo to all of you. I want to talk about two pillars of your mission as an ensemble. Education in just a moment, but first, commissions. Talk about the commissions that you have generated as a group.
It's been a very exciting year for us in that we've had some of our friends who are wonderful composers and colleagues writing music for us. And the first of which is a fantastic piece by our Iranian friend, Saba Amanikia, who is a young, up-and-coming Iranian composer. He's written several times for the Kronos Quartet, and we were delighted and honored to be the dedicatee of his first piano trio. And also our friend Max Stoffergen, who's also a fantastic composer, although very different in style, also wrote a trio for us. And so this is, as you said, part of our mission to not only explore and deepen in our knowledge and love of the standard literature, but also hopefully contribute to that literature with these new works.
And does performing these new works expand your vision of how you perform the standards in the repertoire?
Absolutely. I think that the cross-references between these styles show that they're actually not so different, and that the sounds and the use of the instruments sometimes make us say in rehearsal, oh, that reminds me of this mm-hmm. in the Schumann, or that reminds me of this in the Ravel. And so it's interesting that these musical languages are maybe closer than we would have them on your music history timeline.
Have any of your composer friends kind of experimented with you to push the boundaries of the sounds that you can produce as a piano trio?
Absolutely. I think Saba's piece is maybe the best example of this. He writes music. It's not. He has a very distinct language in his writing. He basically writes from his Persian background. It's not often you find when someone is trying to write something that has it sort of is you know Western music with a flavor mm-hmm. of something, and Saba very much writes in like just what he feels in his upbringing in Iran, and so in his piece Del Tangi Ha, there was I guess the fourth movement is it's called Nowruz, and it's kind of I guess it's kind of like the Persian version of Auld Lang Syne for the New Year. And so we start off with that with Mish and I are imitating bagpipe drones
wow.
in that with the sort of just really kind of nasal, trying to get as nasal as possible. So that's kind of interesting. And then in the last movement, he wrote this thing that when we first saw the score, you know, Jeff sort of said, what? Because he basically wrote it's the piano part in the whole last movement is just written as whole notes with tremolo on them, which is fine if you're a string player. But as a pianist, he was basically looking for the sound of something similar to like a hammered dulcimer.
Uh-huh.
And he knew what he was looking for, and he just sort of said to Jeff, well, you know, I figured that I'd write it and see if you could figure it out.
So, Jeff, can you demonstrate? I mean, what does that sound like?
Absolutely.
It does sound a lot like a hammered dulcimer. You hear the bouncing of those hammers on the strings. That's very cool.
Yeah, we had all sorts of ideas in exploring it, actually involving, you know, going inside the piano and finding hammers, actually, and trying that, but eventually Jeff is...
I thought it was a really wonderful... One of the things that we asked Saba when we commissioned the piece was to write a piece for us that we could play anywhere, because we wanted to play it, you know, at all of our concerts. And so anything with electronics or, prepared piano makes it difficult with some presenters.
Yes, we rarely allow hammers inside our stomach.
Yes, exactly. So I thought that was such a creative way of integrating the piano, which in that Iranian musical language, the piano is certainly the outsider. And I think with that kind of effect, it suddenly enters into that world with the strings.
Now, you also see chamber music as a very important part of music education. How have you put that to work?
Well, in terms of our mission as educators, as well as performing musicians, one of the things we all agreed on when we formed this group was that we wanted to bring the idea of chamber music to all ages, not only young people, but also people of our age. Chamber music is somewhat seen in our day as something a little bit unattainable, just because it's such a wonderful thing to do, but it's such a hard career to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And our sort of view of that is that that is absolutely not true. We are very much advocates for starting any sort of a chamber ensemble at our age, or even younger, or older. I mean, it's not as hard as everybody says. In terms of the business side, yes, that is very difficult, but one of our main goals is to reveal that it's not actually that hard to get started, both on the business side and on the musical side. So in terms of our sort of progression in ages for education, we do a little teaching at a local school, a local music school at, in the Bay Area, known as the Crowden Music Center. And they have a chamber music program in the summer for both children and adults.
Mm-hmm.
The children's and the adults are separated so that the adults get a more focused experience and the children also get a more focused experience, but based on their age level. And the other thing that we do is we have an emerging artist program that we try to offer to up-and-coming groups such as ourselves, I guess, to, you know, offer them the experience of self-presentation. So to guide them through the process of concertizing, starting with the management, publicity, rehearsing program ideas, and then going on into planning the actual concert the day of, and then presenting it at a local venue, all by themselves, but with our guidance, so that they feel as though it is not as hard as it could sound from a distance.
All right, so not just musical training, but how to make a chamber group and get it out there.
Exactly.
101.
Yep.
That's
exactly.
Terrific. We've got one more piece on your program today. Is there anything you want to say about this? Why do you choose this particular piece?
This Schumann Trio, I think, is very special for us. We've been playing it almost since we formed. And of the three Schumann trios, I think this one is maybe the black sheep a little bit, although that's not the best descriptor because it's so up, it's so bright. But it was a favorite of Clara's. And the second movement, I think, is one of the most beautiful slow movements in the piano trio literature. Of its four movements, the first is a very kind of fairy tale adventure. And the second movement is an incredible song with a canon at the beginning you'll hear between the left hand of the piano and the cello with the violin melody floating on top. The third movement is kind of a haunted waltz. And the last movement is really a good-natured and goofy finale.
All right. Well, let's enjoy it. It's the Trio in F Major, Opus 80 by Robert Schumann, played by the Delphi Trio, Liana Berube, Michelle Kwan and Jeffrey Ledour, live from the Faye and Daniel Levin Performance Studio on WFMT.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was a fun ride with the Delphi Trio, Liana Berube, violin, Michelle Kwan, cello, and Jeffrey Ladour, piano. Robert Schumann's Trio in F, Opus 80, played live in the Faye and Daniel Levin Performance Studio here at WFMT. And speaking of great rides, you're going to be embarking on a ride to the Great Lakes Chamber Music Festival soon. You're on your way there, almost literally, are you not?
That's right. Yes, this is a wonderful stop along the way. And we'll be performing the works that we played today, in addition to the commission piece that we spoke of, Saba Amenikia's work, and also Beethoven Opus 70 Number 2, and a work by Joan Tower, which we're going to be able to play for the composer.
Excellent. Before I let you go, how can people find out more about your group? What's your website?
Our website is DelphiTrio.com, and we have bios and sound samples and photos and concerts and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we also have Facebook and Twitter.
All right. So you can connect.
Absolutely. Yes.
Digitally, well, almost any way possible.
Right.
And enjoy some good old-fashioned analog music making along the way.
Yeah.
The Delphi Trio, I'd like to thank our engineer, Joshua Sauvageau, and our producer for these impromptus, Louise Frank. I'd like to thank our artist. Thanks so much for coming in. It's been great.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
And now we send it back into the control room and Carrie Frumkin.